Can mere mortals do much to keep the price of fossil fuel from staying so low? I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. The oil producers cartel OPEC and OPEC-adjacent Russia have just reached a deal to cut oil production by 10 million barrels a day amid this historic slide in energy prices. Because of the Good Friday holiday, this news won't officially percolate into prices for a few days, but in the face of the massive drop-off in demand because of the pandemic, there's a view that this production cut can't fundamentally alter the downward trend. Charlotte Howard is The Economist magazine's energy and commodities editor. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, David.
You think that the problem of the falling demand is so significant that there's not much human beings can do about it?
Well, I think that there will be some bump in prices, but the truth of the matter is that demand is falling so quickly, any production agreement would take some time to be felt in terms of the number of barrels that are out there in the world. And so the reason why oil traders have been freaking out, frankly, is because not only are you in a situation where the supply of oil is exceeding demand for it now, but the supply of oil is looking like it could exceed the capacity to store it for later. That is, storage tanks are nearing capacity. And then you get in this situation where people all of a sudden have to dramatically shut in production in a way that damages reservoirs and they may not come back.
Now, Charlotte, you spent a lot of time in U.S. shale territory. These are the frackers. They're in trouble. I mean, their way of getting fossil fuels is expensive, and they're already quite in debt.
What happens with shale companies will be really interesting to see. In 2018, America became the biggest crude producer in the world, which was facilitated by Saudi Arabia and Russia cutting their own production to keep the price of oil high. And so now that that production deal has fallen apart and you see this big drop in the price of oil, it's exposing that many shale companies actually can't operate profitably at such low prices.
A bit over a week ago, the president of the United States was tweeting that he was getting some agreement to cut production among some of the foreign producers. What about the U.S.? I mean, we were the biggest producer there for a stretch. Are we a global energy superpower?
The U.S. is an energy superpower in some ways, but the funny thing is that America is not actually a petrostate in the way that Saudi Arabia might be. America doesn't have one huge state-controlled oil company. It has many thousands of different oil producers. It's a much harder industry for Donald Trump to wrap his arms around, and he can't really boss them around in the way that a state-controlled company can. But what the president can do and what Congress can do is lean on Saudi Arabia. A group of senators sent a letter basically saying, if you don't end this price war, we're going to think really seriously about whether we're going to give you military aid. And that's something that Saudi Arabia can pay attention to.
Charlotte Howard is the New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine, also the energy and commodities editor there. Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you.
Over the last 3 weeks, more than 16 million workers have filed for state unemployment benefits with the COVID-19 layoffs. It's state workers that have to process this mountain of filings, Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports.
When I reached Helen Esposito, an unemployment claims processor in New York State, she was just getting home from a 12-hour shift.
It's strenuous. I mean, you feel like the days fly, but the mental stress when you're home really hits at that time. It's heavy.
She's been in the job for almost 30 years, and she's seen other unemployment spikes, like after 9/11, the Great Recession, Hurricane Sandy.
So if you put all of those situations together and times them by three, this is what we're looking at.
Unions that represent public employees say many can't work from home, and some are putting in long hours, including weekends. Thea Lee, president of the Economic Policy Institute, says the next federal relief package should provide more support to state and local governments.
If we don't do that, they will start cutting back, firing people, cutting hours in the next couple of months.
She says having fewer public service employees doing things like processing unemployment claims runs the risk of exacerbating the economic crisis for everyone. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Most financial markets in the U.S. and Europe are closed for Good Friday going into Easter here. The S&P 500 index is down 14% year so far. Let me hazard a guess. Have you played a board game in the last couple of weeks, maybe working on a jigsaw puzzle, perchance? Marketplace's Kristen Schwab made some calls about the puzzle industry during this era when many of us have time on our hands.
I've developed a bit of a puzzle addiction during social distancing. I just finished one of a horse ranch, 1,000 pieces. And I'm on the hunt for more, but they're selling out fast. At Ravensburger, the global market leader, sales are up 370%.
We're pretty much experiencing Christmas time at Easter.
Philip Franke is the CEO. He says the company is seeing a definite trend. The first puzzles to sell out were cozy scenes in front of the fireplace, then ones of dreamy, faraway places, then tedious ones of nothing but bright orange mac and cheese.
Maybe it's that satisfaction of completing something in an otherwise kind of messy world around you.
James Zahn at the Toy Insider says the other reasons they're popular are not so puzzling.
It's very therapeutic for a lot of folks because it's a simplistic play pattern that's tech-free, it's screen-free.
The sales boom isn't just about puzzle makers. As big retailers sell out, it's also helping small toy shops grab a piece of the puzzle. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Now, we are not a puzzle family. My spouse is writing poetry when not teaching online 10 hours a day. For my part, I'm trying to devise a way to alter a saltwater snorkeling mask to use as personal protective gear. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.